Thank you. On whose traditional territory this meeting takes place. First item of business is the adoption of the minutes. Someone make that motion, please.
I'll make the motion.
Crystal makes the motion that the board approve the February 17th, 2026 regular open session minutes as circulated. And open that for discussion. Suzanne, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you.
Who was the seconder for that motion?
Nobody, yes.
Okay. We have a seconder for that motion, Craig. Mm-hmm. Crystal. Oh. Motion, and Craig was the seconder. So, is there any discussion on the regular open session minutes of February the 17th? Seeing no hands, Suzanne, you have no queries on the minutes?
Nope.
Thank you. Then we will call for the question. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
That we accept, approve the minutes of the February 17th regular meeting. Carried, so ordered, gentlemen. Thank you. Next order of business is any items coming out of the closed session, and it says that we have none. Introduction of late items. Suzanne, any late items to introduce?
Yeah, we should probably table moving the minutes or the meetings back to 7 o'clock for new business.
Thank you. John, you got that okay?
Yes.
7 p.m. Thank you. Moving on to business arising from the minutes and unfinished business. Does anyone have anything to discuss? I see no hand, so we'll move on to petitions and delegations. Don't we see that there's none? Correspondence in? None. So we move on to reports. Adam, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you, sir. You have the floor. Oh, before okay. You do, Adam, pardon me. Yes, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. The water report, water consumption has been pretty consistent. We're starting to get to that season now where we'll start to watch it and see, you know, just how much that increase goes up, and we'll make adjustments to, you know, well pumping if need be. I think we're probably in a good position to be able to handle what needs to happen as demand increases. But I have been watching the recovery of the water table, and that seems to be progressing nicely. I would say a little better than last year. And so anyways, I'm keeping an eye on both those things, water consumption and water table recovery. That being said, there's not a lot that took place here this last month of note. I'm not sure if there's if there was some, I think there was some discussion that Craig had mentioned that we wanted to have about the PRV and some potential funding for new things. Anyway, that's all I kind of wanted to bring up, was just what the try to get to the bottom of what the plan is with that. We've kind of decided on approval of two of the four, you know, improvement / maintenance items that were recommended by the contractor. But it sounded like there was maybe an appetite for doing the other two as well. So I'd love to hear what other people's thoughts are on that.
So you're still waiting for some more information from the board as where we're going to progress on the other two PRVs.
Correct. Yeah. Is Craig there today?
Yep. So I spoke with an engineer at Macalini about that strainer on the 6-inch PRV, and he said that would be an acceptable installation for that. I had a question about a high flow for a hydrant, but he said it is standard practice now to put those in. So I would be just following Ridgeline's recommendation. So again, it comes down to we had voted to proceed with repairs 1 and 3, and my understanding is they're getting the parts for those. We have to decide if we want to spend the additional funds for repair 2 and 4, which is then everything, depending on this grant money, because it was turning into some $34,000 total.
Right. I think the grant money we had dedicated to just one PRV?
No. No. The grant money is $100,000, but we weren't sure if that $100,000 was shared with other areas, but turns out it's just for Deep Bay.
Right.
So, knowing that now, we could go with all four listed repairs and modifications, because it would ultimately be a little cheaper in the end.
Craig, is there any stipulations on what that grant money can be used for? Is it meant for a specific purpose, or is it something that just the improvement district is allowed to use at their discretion? Or?
My understanding, it was for essentially capital projects,
right,
or major improvements on existing equipment.
Okay.
Like the generator that we're looking at for well 6, that fell in that category too.
So if I could interject here, because on page 12 of the agenda, in my monthly report, there's a third of the page on the Community Works Fund grant. And as a result of the last board meeting, I put in here that we had applied and sent to Stuart McLean emergency generator, 50,000, pressure reducing valve, replacement, rebuild, strainer, and gate valves, 33,587, and fire department structure protection unit, 20,000. So currently that's what's on the books
to accept the money of the grant.
Yeah,
that's going to be my question. We have already had that money spoken for to the tune of 50,000 generator, 33.5 for PRV, and 16.5 for structure protecting unit.
And that being said, we were looking at carrying out these projects without government funding.
Right.
I'm not saying we would have done that, but certainly the discussion seemed to be leaning towards that. So if it does cost us extra, and that is the board's, and the board decides that we should proceed with the project, if we were to get the grant, we're still looking at spending less repairs money than initially were because of the grant.
Right. But there's still a potential of us taking money out of general revenue to pay for it.
Correct.
The other,
yeah, we may need to look at the budget amendment. I'm not sure on what we can typically do there, but regardless of that, there's certainly sufficient funds that we have to carry out these projects.
Okay. Crystal?
No, I just want to say we should probably find out from them what the cost is every time they have to go into the confined space.
It was just about $2,000.
Everything, doesn't matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're saving that.
So if this grant money isn't for sure, then I would recommend that we go with all four of these repairs, and then it's done. There's no coming back.
Mm-hmm.
When will the grant outcome be known?
Pardon me?
When will the outcome of the grant proposal be known?
John, do you have any insight?
I don't. Has Stuart said anything to you, Chief? Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
At this time, Suzanne, we do not have a specific date we can give you.
Okay, it's not me. It's just that maintenance in an improvement district can't wait for grants. So I'm just concerned that we're holding back on required maintenance that needs to be done when we don't even know what the end date is of the application process. Like, what if it's September, October? I'm thinking that this warrants sort of immediate attention, or?
So like repairs 1 and 3 that we thought we were gonna have to foot the bill ourselves without grant, that was gonna be 12,500. That stuff needed to be done now.
Okay. So
It
I would
was
say
holding off on the other two that are even more money again, if that grant money was available.
how much is the total you said?
It's $33,587,
That's for all four?
all four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Versus the ones that really need to get done would be included in that too, are currently at 12,500.
And so are we doing those?
Those parts have been ordered.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're proceeding
Yeah.
regardless. Okay.
So if we decide we want to just do the whole thing now because that grant money's available, then Adam can contact the fellow at Ridgeline again and get the parts for the number or the 3-inch PRV and the 6-inch strainer.
Right.
But you've got to be careful. Sometimes with grants, if you buy anything before the grant's approved, it's not eligible.
To your point, I was going to speak on it, Suzanne. No,
So,
the grant, to your point, thank you. The grant has not been received through John's office yet. So no, we do not know if we have $100,000. Stuart has no more information either. So we see your point with respect to grant money being available, and all of a sudden it's not available. The issues that we're discussing are the urgency in moving forward with these projects. So it's the typical government, our hands are somewhat tied, in my opinion, that we are waiting for them to tell us that the grant money is there. And if anybody in the room knows how to expedite that, then that's what our next step should be. Thank
well,
you.
we should know when we're applying for something, the parameters and the dates. John, you don't know the closing date and the announcement date?
My understanding, what we were required to do was go through the Electoral Area Director, which we did. It then gets forwarded to UBCM, and I don't know what the status is on that.
Okay.
I can follow
Yeah.
that up. I was intending on following it up. I just didn't get a chance to.
Right. So my concern is that obviously some of it needs attention right away. Some of this work needs to be done and some of it doesn't. We've already ordered some parts, is what I was hearing. So all I'm just saying is that cautioning is that if you're banking on those expenses being eligible if we receive the grant, there may be a requirement that anything bought before grant approval is not eligible. That's typically in a grant process. Anyway, I leave it. John, you have to find that out.
Suzanne, perhaps you could take it underneath your wing and you could help John out. You know, you're quite versed on all these issues with government coming from your background. Perhaps maybe you could try and help us out and see if you can find out anything more than John. John has
No,
tried, he
that,
just hasn't heard.
No,
Colin, that
if
is
I
the
could, I'll handle
administrator's
it.
job.
Yeah, I'll handle it.
Thank
It's
you, Cheyenne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From my previous conversations with Stuart several years ago regarding the type of grants that are available to us through the what's called gas tax, whatever it's called now, John, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's not a process where you fill out a whole bunch of documentation and you have to check boxes and you have to do this and you have to submit financials. You have to tell them what your program is, what you're trying to do, and it's an in-house thing. The money has already been funded to the regional district, sitting in their bank accounts, waiting for people in their areas to apply for those funds. That's my understanding, John. It's like no other grant application that you have ever done, I'm sure, because it was probably very simple, just a letter saying this is what we want to do and our motion.
It was simpler, but a little bit more than that. That's all.
Yeah, I know, but
Like
it wasn't a 10-page, we need to do this and you can't do this before you do that.
correct. Correct. But
Correct.
I think Suzanne is correct. We need to do our due diligence here as well and check that out, and we will get right on. There were a couple of questions on it. And one of them I don't mind saying is, do you have an asset management plan?
Oh.
So we've spoken about that before, and I thankfully the board passed a resolution supporting looking at an asset management plan. So I was at least able to say that it is in process. So that was one of the questions that was on there, and I have might even been in the report when I went to the board on that, that it is going to be a future requirement to have an asset management by the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it might be here now.
If I may just, Adam, are you still with us?
I am, yep.
And I apologize, we're sort of on another subject. You are complete and done with your report. Is there anything else to add? Because if not, then I would like to allow you to, if there's no questions, I'll open it up for questions from the board. And if there's no questions, then you can excuse yourself from the meeting.
Yeah, I have nothing else to add. So if anybody's got any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
John has something for you.
Sure.
It's not so much, Adam, it's not so much a question. It's more just to reinforce what you said earlier, to looking at the aquifer and how much it's recharged. It's incredible. Like it's recharged over a meter in 1 month. And we're getting close to the historical median of that reservoir right now. And,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean something else couldn't happen. It could go the other way, but it's looking quite good right now. So I echo your comments earlier about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's you know, I'm cautious to say, well, this is great news, but I mean, it's obviously you can see objectively it's recovered better by this time than it did last year, by last year at this time. And so, yeah, I think that is a good thing, but we'll continue to watch as it, you know, as demand increases and as, you know, we are in March now. I mean, we've only really got, you know, optimistically another 4 or 6 weeks of you know, sort of consistent precipitation before we're probably going to get into some warmer and drier weather, right? So that's sort of typical of our climate here over the past, you know, decade. So yeah, I think we're in a pretty good position. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that, I think.
Christo has a question.
No, not sure. Great. I just wanted to add something. So the research they're doing on the swamp is not quite complete yet. They said maybe another month. And so then we're going to get the statistics from them as to how the water, surface water level there affects the aquifer, because they're going to correlate that to the observation well 310. I also have a meeting next week with the RDN, with one of the women down there who runs the water testing that we do on the creeks and things. And part of that was, I want some clarity on just where the aquifer is, because there seem to be some overlapping things. And we are putting sensors down a lot of the local wells to try to see what is actually going on with the aquifer. Apart from just this side of it, power wells and observation well, we've got one in Bowser, we've got one up at Beaufort Acres. We've got a couple more, one more to go in, actually. We're just trying to find the right well so we can see from one end of the aquifer to the other end what the flow is and how it affects things. So anyway, just a matter of interest.
Yeah, that's good. And Chris, I did get your message there, wondering about information from our wells, and I'm happy to get that to you. I'm going to, I'll probably give you a call tomorrow. We can talk about it in more detail and see exactly what information you're looking for. And I'll see if I can extract it and just send it to you in a digital form so that it's there for you to see. Yeah. So you can kind of correlate that data and use our wells. We do have two of our wells that have active level sensing. We still haven't resolved the issues of the SCADA packs on the other two. I've followed up with White Pacific and I haven't heard back. That was late last week that I had reached out there regarding that, because they said they were going to send us a quote on what it was to replace those SCADA packs that had failed, that were the root of the issue, not the issue of us not getting the active well levels. So that was on well 8 and well 4, I believe.
Okay, that's great. But if you do the time, I wouldn't mind being there with you just have some other questions about the wells and things.
Okay.
So yep. While you look at the SCADA, I might have some other questions if you can manage the time.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You betcha.
Adam, thank you. Any other questions for Adam? Thank you, Adam.
No. Okay. Yeah. And just
Just as a reminder, I'm not sure how many people are there, people from the community. If there is anybody out in the community that does have questions, I'm more than happy to answer any questions that people have if they want to direct them through to the administrator, and then they'll get forwarded to me just via email, and I'm happy to answer back with any inquiries that people have that are there.
That's tremendous. So John has no, duly noted that. So as you're saying, if he has any inquiries from the residents, then he can forward those on to
Sure. Wonderful.
you.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
everybody.
you.
Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So back to where we were with respect to the grant money. Suzanne has some genuine concerns.
Did we finish off Adams by getting a motion first? And
Oh, I'm
going
sorry.
back
Of
to that?
course,
Let's
of
just finish
course.
the thought.
My bad. Recommendation is that the February 2022 Water Operations Report be received for information. I will make that motion. We have a seconder. Thank you, Diane. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands, we'll vote. All those in favor, raise your
Yep.
hands. Thank
Yep.
you, Suzanne. That's carried unanimously. Thank you, John.
In terms of the grant,
Yes, thank
we
you.
can continue the discussion here, but we could also discuss it during the administrator's report because it is in the administrator's report
That's
coming
correct.
up.
Diane or Suzanne, are you all right with that to leave the discussion on the grant until the administrator is available to give his report?
Of course, yeah. I didn't, yeah.
Thank you. Let's move on. To the fire chief's report. The recommendation is that the February 2026 fire chief's report be received for information. Is there a motion that nature, please? Thank you, Diane. And the seconder, Crystal, sorry, Craig. And we open up discussions. Any questions from anybody at the table to join with respect to his?
George doesn't.
And if none from here, then George, please, you ask a question, sir.
No, it's not a question. It was discovered today that we have an extremely low tire on 8.5 on one of the rear duallys that will be repaired tomorrow. I've got somebody coming online tomorrow morning to fix it.
Thank you.
Just a question of
Please.
answer. Just curious, what would a new tire cost from that size, approximately?
$1,000.
How much?
At least $1,000.
Yeah, at least $1,000.
Was just curious.
It's certainly not worn out.
No, it's not worn out. It's
No, I know what you said.
Check on the price.
Yep, I'm just kidding.
It could just be about quarter. Question
Great.
four. It says 8.1, so that's old engine 8.1. The backup air compressor malfunction. Backup air compressor. I don't understand.
We have a compressor on board, a little electric compressor on board. It keeps the air pressure up on the truck. We don't have short
Oh,
power.
okay.
Oh, we have an onboard compressor that runs off electricity, offshore power.
Okay. Is 8.5 set up the same way?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Anyone else have a question for George or anything? Then the motion is before you. That the fire chief's report for February 2026 be received for information. Did you put in motion? Did you get a
Exactly.
yeah, seconder? All those in favor, please raise your hands. Suzanne?
Yep.
Thank you. Carried in. So ordered, John. Financial reports. Turn that over to you, Mr. Administrator.
Thank you, Chair. The check logs for the water and the fire are on page 11 of the report. And Janine prepared this particular document, and I think she's doing a great job in terms of explanations what the amounts are for. And I think it speaks for itself. If someone has any questions on what we've written down, I'd be happy to try and answer your question.
Any questions? Sorry, Greg, please.
So the check for Sea Beneath Marine and Heritage, that was the deposit to start the work or eventually getting to being able to fix the repair on Burn Road?
Yes, amongst others. I think if it's okay, we could discuss that on my administrator's report because that's in there too, but that is exactly how it all started. I'll explain that.
Okay.
And that's the fire book check. So there are no further questions and the recommendation before us. If someone can make that motion.
I'll make the motion that we Thanks. Receive the financial reports issued for the water department and the fire department.
Thank you. And a seconder? Craig? Seeing no hands for any further discussion, Suzette?
No, I'll chime in if I ever do. Thanks.
Yep. So all those in favor of the motion before you to accept fire chiefs for the financial reports, recommendation, yeah. Check registers we receive for information, please indicate by. We carried and so ordered. John, thank you. Thank you for your patience, John. Now it's your turn to have your time. Mike, we will open it up to the
thank
administrator's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a pretty light agenda tonight, so I'll go right through the report if that's okay with you, which I suspect it is. And first of all, the monthly report, it's something new that we've tried to do this year. It's a better explanation of what we're working on in the office, and that's what this report is intended to be. It's an overview of some of the highlights of what we worked on in the last month. The parcel tax and fire protection invoices were due at the end of February, and collections went reasonably well. They were in line with last year's, a little bit less on the collection end, but certainly within the range as compared to last year. Public generally was, I don't know whether supportive is the right word when you're having to pay taxes, but they were quite reasonable. Certainly got some questions about some increases, a handful of questions, and really informed questions. So I thought that was good. You certainly spent the time explaining what and why the increases were approved by the board. So moving on to the community works grant that we talked about earlier. So what we applied for the emergency generator for the water well station is at the bottom of page 12, 50,000. The pressure reducing valve and related works, 33,587. Fire structure protection unit, 20,000. We initially had talked about 100,000, and all of those items added up to 103,367. So rather than rounding them down, I'll put it in at 103,587. So I have not heard back on this. This is something that it's staff's role to contact, and I will contact Stuart likely tomorrow and ask them where it stands, but it usually takes a little bit of time. But as Diane said, this grant is a little bit different, so they might be a little quicker in terms of being able to get a decision. So I'll find that out. As soon as I find that out, I will email the board to update them immediately. We won't have to go in this meeting. I want to write that down so I don't forget.
Funny, but it'd be a bit well to mention talking to Simon Wing about the wells at this point because we've got a program of the new generator.
Sure.
I just had something to add. So I had a lengthy discussion with Simon Wing, who was the fellow who did the report on wells 1 and 3, which were minor issues. I asked him if he could. We already, Suzanne and I already wrote something and sent it to VR. They just wrote back and said, you have to do this, just get a new generator. I mean, they really don't look at things carefully enough. Anyway, I had a long discussion with him. He will not take the responsibility of reassessing the wells, even though there are such minor things. He goes, no, it's not something he would take responsibility for. So that means we probably should just abandon those two wells because there's no point in doing anything more with them if we're not ever going to be able to use them apart from chlorinating them. So, you know, I tried all the avenues, so I just wanted to make that clear. So that's the reason too. So you probably need a new generator for well six, unfortunately. Thanks.
Crystal, and again, with VR, you have never really even been given a really concrete explanation as to why they have determined that, like we've done tests, the well water is tested pure and clear. So there's never been an issue. They just seem to be hesitating to allow us to use these wells.
Yes.
And I think, if I may, I think some of us, and I'd be certainly one of them, has talked about going to sit with these people face to face. This email not going to do any good. Email thread to me is so impersonal.
It wasn't, well, that's my phone people because I'm better on the phone than I am emailing. So I talked to that guy for half an hour. I tried every avenue. They said, well, one of the trees in a swamp. They said, you pull around the areas and now it's no longer in a swamp, you know, on and on. Anyway, all those minor issues I brought up, they would not, anyway, he just wouldn't go there. He wouldn't rewrite the report. Without him changing it, VR is not going to do anything. So
This is
everybody,
Simon. This is the fellow Simon.
yes.
And he's a water specialist. That's
They yes, they wrote the reports on the wells.
Diane, please.
So he's not willing to do another report to assess it well?
Yes.
Okay, that seems rather strange.
Well, it's not just doing another report. They would have to say that, excuse me, that the golf things that are an issue are not going to be an issue,
Right.
which is what I was going with the whole thing, right? Saying, for instance, there's no bentonite clay around the well. Yes, there's a concrete slab around it.
Yes.
It's not at a, it has to be a certain depth. It's quite shallow. I said, well, that's just somebody has put that in there as a blanket thing. So I'll change that. I mean, I've tried all the avenues.
And they're the only company who will do a GARP assessment.
Oh, you could probably hire somebody different. I mean, it already cost 6 grand for them to do those two. So is it worth going there? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how much is it going to cost us to deactivate a couple of wells? I'm just curious. Like, obviously, the gentleman who did the report is not willing to do another report to see if his findings are the same or different, but maybe somebody else might be willing to do a GARP report that maybe we get a different outcome because there seems to be solutions to what the problem was before, like the septic system is no longer where it was.
Yes.
So if that costs us $5,000 or $6,000 to have that report done and it comes out never successful, then we can start using that again, then that's a good thing, other than us just scrapping two wells.
That I've never had an issue with foul water.
So
Yeah, because I mean, well number one ran for several decades
Yeah.
with the septic field in its old location, and it wasn't an issue.
With an initial.
Right.
Well,
So I'd like to see that guy explain that one.
that's one of the things I said. So if there have been these issues and we look at them again and say they're not really an issue, we test it every week, you know. Now you know you're testing it. If anything shows up, okay, then it's an issue. He wasn't going there, just saying.
Yeah. It seems odd that a private company, a contractor, seems to have hammer on this and not a government agency.
Perhaps that's the problem.
Indeed.
He's not wanting to take responsibility.
But that's
Why
what our
would
taxes are paying their salaries to do.
Right, but I mean from the engineer standpoint, assuming it's an engineer,
I was just.
what would be in it for them to take responsibility and accept liability?
So I just want to say this about VR. They just want to tolerate everything. So while I was talking to this guy, I said to him, well, other wells are fine. Oh, you don't have any chlorine on those wells? I go, no. Oh, you know, that was the attitude. So you're getting away with that. So you have to be careful where you go with VR, to be quite honest. With the dryers, I said, Suzanne and I went through this whole golf thing, wrote this all out, sent it to VR. They just wrote back and said, read the water instructions and get another generator. So we did try with them. That's why I called this fellow to say, well, you can override them. If you write a report, then that changes things. But we could try somewhere else.
I think we should. That's an asset you're walking away from.
I agree.
But to replace that well today, you probably need $100,000. By the time you drilled the well and installed the pump, it'd be $100,000.
And to decommission, it's probably not going to be a lot less than that. Probably be $25,000. If I, who knows?
Well, to be properly abandoned, yeah.
Right. So if we find out how much it would cost for us to do another garden report, then maybe we can make a decision in order to do that and see what we get back. We get back the same thing. Well, then we know we've got a problem when we need to decommission a well. But at least we've done our due diligence.
Well, yeah, it sounds like Simon is not really, I'm not sure what to say. I don't know if he's alongside V-Haw or what he's.
I talked to him a year ago about that, and he said it's V-Haw's call. That's why we wrote this letter to V-Haw, going through all the facts.
But they based it on his report, though, right? That was the whole thing.
Of course. Yeah, I don't know if they even read his report, carefully, to be quite honest, but. I'm just saying.
So, yeah. So if I could, I said, at least, I think it was at the 11:15, I had stated the previous water operator tried very hard to and was very frustrated with the results of that particular report when it came in and we weren't allowed to put it online. So it's not a new issue.
No, no,
it's an old issue. So now it's a matter of what are we going to do about it? What are our next steps? Are we going to do something about this in terms of a motion tonight, or are we just going to sit on it for a bit and ponder what to do next? What is the plan?
Well, I'd be happy to pause one of the other companies who've written reports about our system.
See, you wouldn't mind doing that, Crystal?
I wouldn't mind calling them.
Then what?
See if they will go there, if they were prepared to write a report.
Yeah, why don't we just go with that?
I'll do that.
We'll bring it back next month, but at this stage, we'll let Crystal, who's been quite involved, just maybe make some additional phone calls. I don't know this Simon fella, but it certainly seems like you've done everything and everything has come back clean, and yet we're getting told we can't use this well. I don't see this. And as Craig said, it was used for decades with the septic field rate.
Yeah. And those two wells, 1 and 3, are two of them that were supposedly modifying, they struck the bunker so it's no longer a confined space. So we don't want to spend that money if we're never going to use the wells.
Yes, right.
Yes, I put a hold on doing anything with the bunkers too for now.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, okay.
Do we know what kind of production well one has? Because, you know, it doesn't report in the well meter readings.
Well, 1 and 3 together give us as much as well 8, I think. The two together. After the rounds were.
But they're fairly significant production wells. They're not.
Well, they're only 5-horse motors, so they only put out about a third of what well 8 does.
Because of the capacity of the motor.
Yeah.
If you increase the size of the motor, you would be able to do more? No.
No, because it's 3-phase power along the highway. It's only single phase here.
Oh, I see. So we don't even have the option to. Okay.
So, if I could. Yeah, please, sir. This isn't a panic in terms of tonight making a recommendation.
Very, yeah.
So, why don't we direct the administrator to prepare a report on this assessment?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what type of assessment. And then I'll work with Crystal, we'll come back, and recommendation will likely be exactly what Crystal just stated, to authorize Crystal and the administrator to contact another GART firm or whatever that is, and yeah, we'll put in some of the history information, for example, what Suzanne had asked about the output and whatever other applicable information that we think I'll put it in. It won't be a 10-page report or anything, and it shouldn't take us too long. And then I think it'd be a little bit more orderly.
I think that's prudent. Shall we put that together in a motion? To the administrator?
Yeah, to the administrator, be directed.
So, someone want to do the motion, or shall I? We direct the administrator?
Do you want to do it, Chris?
Sure.
Crystal.
Direct the administrator to contact another.
How about to write a report for the next board?
Oh, okay.
To write a report for the next board meeting. For next board meeting. Regarding another water specialist. Specialist two.
To assess the
value.
To reevaluate it.
To assess.
One and three.
Well,
for future use.
One, three for future use. Okay.
Just make sure, John, that you check with VHA what kind of a specialist they actually will accept a report from. And that we hire that kind of specialist.
Agreed. That'd be part of the due diligence.
Yeah.
Sure, that's a natural progression. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to read that motion back to the table, please?
Great. The administrator to write a report for the next board meeting regarding contacting another water specialist to assess well number one and three for future use.
Future use? Do we have to be future use, domestic use, use? Okay. That motion will have presented by Crystal. Will put your name on the motion?
Sure.
And I'll second it. And is there any further discussion on that motion? I don't think VR is very, as you said, Christo, and anyone that's out here listening, they are pushing chlorination. This is where it's all going, ladies and gentlemen. They want everything chlorinated because then it frees them up from any. Anyway, that's just my thoughts on that. Call the motion. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hands.
Yeah.
John, that's carried. Thank you, Suzanne. It's carried. So ordered.
Okay, back to my monthly report. Freedom of information and privacy at the top of page 13. There's a separate report on that, and I'll speak to that issue when we get to the report, so I'll skip down to the next one. Other water department issues. Island Rail has advised DVID that they are close to finalizing the statutory right-of-way agreement for the Thompson Clark West water line. That's really all I know about it. They sent an email. I sent one to them. I sent several to them asking for an update. Finally, got back to me, and that's what it is, that they were close, they were talking to us, so it's been a moment. Staff have contacted McElhaney Engineering to carry out detailed water mapping work to upgrade the DVID water maps. There is significant work to complete the mapping, and staff are waiting to receive more costing information. However, the cost could be in the 5 to 10,000 range, depending on the scope of the work. So I haven't heard back from Chris Pogson yet. I had a meeting over the phone with Chris Pogson and someone from their GIS department on that, and they will be getting back to me on the extent of it. I had received some input from Crystal about that report that was helpful in terms of the detailed information that he felt we should have on the water lines that would help us for future use of replacement and maintenance of our water lines.
So maybe we should discuss that with Adam too, see if specific things he wants.
Good point.
On the map too.
Yeah,
so it's clear to everybody.
Sure.
If you need to agree.
I like that idea of discussing because I had not discussed it with Adam. That being said, what was discussed with Adam, this part of it, I had discussed it. Adam asked for a detailed water map when he was doing the water flushing. And we didn't have anything that was even both to be up to date. So they have been asking. So.
Can I ask you a question? From we have been dealing with McElhaney Engineering for 15 years. Anybody know? Like a long time?
Longer than that.
And I'm hearing today that in all those years, nobody's ever asked for a mapping of our water system because they know our system. They're the ones that repair it. So now, only now in 2026, we are finally addressing it and saying, hey, we need a mapping system of our, correct? This well, is the first time it's ever been brought to
No, boards. We have various maps from them. Just okay. A comprehensive map with a little bit more detail where all the maps are put together. So, for example, one of the recent changes will be an archaeological overlay that will be a layer within the map. I don't know all the details until they get that to us. But you see the map that's on the wall over the other side of the room. I don't think that one was prepared by McElhaney. That was even before McElhaney.
And then there was the 2001st report that they did on water system, which has a fairly detailed map.
It's better than it was. Okay.
But really, it's just there's work involved to get that done, and work involved means money. And it hasn't been asked for.
Now,
for a few reasons, we're feeling like it could be beneficial. It's time. How much level of detail? I'm not sure. That'll be somewhat dependent on time. So one of the things, I guess I did indirectly when I think that talked to Adam about this, because one of the things that he had mentioned to me, I just thought of this now, is getting details on where the water meter locations are in every lot. Well, we don't want to go out and digitize that. That'd be very expensive to do that from a digitizing standpoint. So that's something that, for example, we may just have notes. You click on the map in that area and we'll bring up a note box and it'll describe where it is, like if it's underneath the scrub or whatever. I'm not sure what we would do on that yet. I just use that as an example on should that be digitized or should that be a note. You can digitize it all, but you get down to that level of detail, it's just that much more money.
Can I just add some?
Yes, please.
It just happens that I was going through some old information I got from Frank Aronomy today. He gave me some stuff a long time ago, and anyway, it's quite old. But on there, he has some maps, and they have some of the water connections and locations and things on that. So we could look at those, which might help.
Let me check the finals too. I think I have some old maps.
That's good. But yeah,
because we can give them to map already then, so they're not guessing or trying to figure out things.
Sure. And I'm not sure what Frank brought in or what you got from Frank, but I did get some more Christmas presents from him last Friday. His wife was in and his son-in-law and left another package for us, and I haven't had a chance to go see that. It was just last Friday.
Yeah.
So they're moving in real soon to the home here in Bowser. So they're
Frank is.
Oh, I'm.
But it's excellent they're bringing me down.
Yes.
Comment with her discussion with them.
Yeah.
Well, with him before and then with his wife and my son-in-law, Brian. So it's very positive.
Good.
Okay, fire committee meeting was held on February 24th. The main purpose of the meeting was to review the fire department capital budget. The fire chief is still reviewing and researching equipment requirements, and this issue will be reviewed at a future meeting. In addition, the committee discussed fire department staffing, training, and other operational requirements. Miscellaneous regular tasks. Staff completed regular tasks during the month, including accounts payable, payroll, deposits, customer inquiries, minutes, agendas, website, etc. And then the bigger item, archaeological consultant. So quite some time ago, late in the summer, there was a leak that was discovered in the Burn Road area. And we were going to dig it up and fix the repair. And something happened that wasn't done that day, and then in the intervening time, we had learned, or I had learned, that it's in a archaeological site DISE 7, which means it turns out you can't dig and repair that without a permit. The permitting is quite extensive. Could be in the 40 page range just to do a permit for a standpipe repair. And the archaeological consulting will be considerably more expensive than the repair, probably 10 to 1 in terms of the difference. The repair is probably a couple of $1,000 job, and this is several thousands in the $10,000-$20,000 range on the permitting. And we've gone to contact with three companies, and we went with Steve Beneath, who's certainly done work in this area. And I believe they also did some work on a property just above where this one was. So how it works is there's two types of permits. There's a multi, well, I have the name,
multi-assessment permit. Yes.
A multi-assessment permit and a site
alteration
permit. So multi-permit's probably going to be Pearl and Deep Bay. And all the sites within Deep Bay are going to be rather general. The problem is you have this multi one. Well, not a problem. One of the requirements, so we have this multi, but anytime you have to do work within the multi, the site specific or site alteration permit is there. So we're going to need a multi permit, and then we're going to need a site alteration permit. And sometimes this permitting takes, it can take up to, if not longer than a year. We've been told that by the ministry that that they will likely look favorably at trying to move that up in priority, but time will tell. We've also been told that they may look at the site alteration permit for more than just one site because they're in close proximity. We believe we might have three standpipes that are problematic right within that area, and we're looking at those three. So you're up to date other than that and the wording that's in there.
Just don't have the eventual cost yet.
Owen?
Yes, you can.
I'm thinking that the motion from the closed session where we agreed to retain CBNEF needs to be included in the agenda heading items coming out of closed session. So it can appear obviously in John's report, but it should appear also in section C of this agenda.
I agree with Suzanne. However, not criticize it, but I was going to bring that up in the in-camera meeting. That discussion should be in the in-camera meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it goes from the in-camera meeting to the open. But I've already divulged the issue by explaining it here. So it's not really out of line to say that. We want to get it out in its public as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
One of the problems with this particular type of work is these sites, they're supposed to be confidential, except for the property owners who got a letter. Like my understanding is all the letters down, property owners down that area got a letter. We are not supposed to produce a map and show where this is on the map. It's illegal. And this is from the provincial government, so don't go blaming the consultant company. No. It's just bizarre on some of these rooms.
Yeah, it's just the motion, though, that we retained CBNEF just needs to be in the coming out of closed.
Again, we'll go over that when we get to the closed meeting.
Does that work, Suzanne?
It's
already
the
on the agenda to discuss it in the.
Well, I don't agree. I don't agree because we said here that we've retained them. But anyway.
We need a motion to take it out of the closed meeting.
Okay.
That should be done in the closed meeting.
Thank you.
Diane, please.
Just had a question. So we have to do this permitting process. So if a landowner who lives down in this area wants to dig a hole in their backyard to put in a new garden, do they have to get permission to dig in their yard?
Yes. I asked that question of the ministry. And I was told yes. Furthermore, I asked the question, can we take a permit out? No, we can't. Well, indirectly, we can't. It has to be a consulting firm, a qualified consulting firm has to take the permit out on our behalf. So it's not like us going in and taking out a building permit. Because a property owner can go and do that. We have to have a qualified archaeologist to take those permits out on our behalf.
But a property owner would have to do the same thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, all the requirements of the property owner, I'm not sure, but I did ask that question on, for example, fence posts.
Uh-huh.
And that example, I was told that they would have to. I did not ask them whether it would be a consulting firm or get into details, but I certainly presume that that would be the case, but I don't know.
I was just curious.
Well, just in the past as a contractor, so I've dealt with them a couple of times on different houses. But I mean, as an agent, I can hire them. Somebody do that for the owner.
Right. But yeah, somebody would have to be paid to do that.
Yeah. Diane and group, I don't know. Craig, you have. You all seen in Ontario. You probably didn't see it yourself, so you know that. Yeah. So there's a house owner. But yeah. So yeah. All right.
Thank you,
John.
Okay, so moving on.
Please last, carry on.
On to the last item in my report is annual audit. And it's 95% or 97% of the work has been done and has been done for quite some time. There's just a few issues or minor items that I need to get the auditors to finalize things. I got another email from them today or on Monday, and I've not responded. So I was intending on getting that to them on Wednesday. So I would have done it today. I didn't get in today. This snowstorm.
Yes.
It was incredible at 10:30 when I was coming in to go in. Vehicles were going all over the highway, and I turned at the golf station and went back home and jumped it cleared up. I couldn't believe how bad the road was. And then you come in and it's just nothing.
I was on the road too, and it was crazy going into Boca Beach.
Yeah, I had planned on
around the same time we talked. Yeah, it was
okay. That concludes my report.
Thank you, John.
So we have both in that.
So we have a motion before us that the February 2026 administrator's report be received for information. Can I have someone make that motion? Thank you, Crystal. Could I have someone second that motion? Thank you, Alyssa. Is there any further discussion? Suzanne, is there any further discussion on the report?
No, except for I'm going to object, but that's okay.
Then we'll call for the question. All those in favor of accepting the administrator's report and be received for information, please raise your hands. We have Suzanne.
I am not in favor.
No. So you're saying no. Thank you. So we have 1, 2, 3. Do you want it recorded?
Yes. And the reason is because the content should have been voted on before it was disclosed in an administrator's report.
Sorry.
The retaining of beneath the sea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. Thank you. That takes us to bylaws.
No, there's another item there.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
Cole, yes, if I could just say one more item that I debated. I just want the board to know that I did debate whether we can put that item on the agenda for the reason that that Suzanne has stated. The problem is we cut a check. And I thought we needed to get out there. A lot of people knew about it, and I got it off. But technically, she makes a good point, so I'm not trying to give excuses.
Which report are you talking about?
The ornithological issue.
The ornithological issue.
Yeah, because there was a check on the agenda that kind of triggers the question. So, anyways, it is what it is. It's out there now, and
you still have to go through the process.
Yeah. So that's fine. We can talk about that in the camera. Thank you.
Okay. Then you would like to move on to
privacy
and confidential information report.
Okay, so this is an item, the privacy, and there's a lot of backup on this. It's really a lot to know specifically what all the rules are on this privacy. I certainly know a lot more now than I did 6 months ago. But that being said, I'm just sort of just trying to find my report here. So I have since learned some additional items about this issue, and item number two in the recommendation. I don't think we should do that right now. Because there is some information to state when you have information on personal emails. The Privacy Commissioner's office has made recommendations on how to deal with that. And in terms of what needs to be deleted, what needs to be sent back to like myself as administrator, it deals with how you do a file retention policy. So I think that needs more work. So I'll come back on what we do about emails that are out there that went to personal emails. And it's not unusual for organizations that wouldn't have proper, say, DBID email addresses. I don't think we got the email addresses, when was it, January of last year? So there's a lot of information going back, and what we need to do to clean things up is probably go back a number of years ago. So I'd rather deal with the history stuff, that aspect, on a separate report. And it won't be a ton of work because I've already done most of the legwork. I just need to get another report together on file retention, because if we're going to deal with file retention, we need to deal with more than just privacy issues relating to file retention. For example, we've got all kinds of files in the back here that are stored that need to be cleaned up and many of them discarded, and that would be included in the retention policy too. So it's not just a privacy issue. So item two, I'd like extracted. In terms of the first item, that we erred in not following the administrator position, erred in not following a couple privacy issues where information came in to the administrator and it was forwarded to the board and should not have been. There's one of them, maybe someone could make a different argument than that. In my opinion, they both should not have been distributed to the board. They were not distributed to the public, so the issue was somewhat contained in that sense, in that it wasn't on the agenda who did this, but we didn't follow proper procedures, and I certainly apologize to the individual, and I'll write a letter to that effect, assuming the recommendation goes through. But I think it should. We made a mistake, and we need to own it and send that out. And also a requirement of the Privacy Commissioner's office where there's mistakes like that. We notify the privacy office of what occurred, and I would outline the corrective actions that be taken, which includes staff becoming more informed. And I'm not even saying I was the one who made the error here. So I'm not saying I didn't. I'm not saying I am. Like, there need, this is challenging to understand all of these things. And someone who comes into this position, say when they replace me, and knowing all these rules, you get an email that comes in and says certain things, and you automatically think right away, okay, well, I should let the board know this. Well, there's some steps to determine whether the board should know that or not. And we didn't follow those. So that's what that's about. I'll leave it at that. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer it to the best that I can. And at the same time, protecting the privacy of the individual.
Do we have any, Suzanne, do you have any questions to start?
No.
No. So the recommendation is going to be?
One and three.
One and three. The recommendations, like everything above, is that going to become a motion that we're voting on?
Yes.
So the first recommendation is that the administrator, and if I may, before I read this out, what really perplexes me as an individual is that I'm asked to vote on something that I don't know anything about. This seems really, really odd in the scheme of transparency and all these things, that now we're dealing with things like this that we're voting on and nobody knows anything about what the content of the issue is. It just is beyond. That being said, it's
Colin,
just a comment.
If I could,
please.
Initially, the request was that the chair and the administrator write the apology. My recommendation excluded the chair, it was just the administrator, because I can't protect the privacy of the individual if I start getting a board member to sign it. So that's why it's just the chair, or sorry, just the administrator.
Well, thank you for taking it on the chin, my friend. So that the administrator provide a written apology to the complainant regarding the two privacy breaches and noting that DBID administrator erred in not following privacy requirements by forwarding private information to DBID board members. The motion is before you. If there's no further discussion, we'll call for the question.
Well, we need a mover and a seconder.
Yes, we do. So who would like to make that motion?
Make the motion.
Thank you, Diane. You have a seconder, please, Alyssa. So moved and seconded. Diane moved it. Alyssa seconded it. Is there no further discussion? Then I will call for the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please raise your hands.
Yes.
Thank you, Suzanne. So that's carried unanimously, John.
And then number three.
And then number three. That the administrator provide a report to the provincial government office of the Information and Privacy Commissioner, notifying of the two DBID privacy breaches and outline corrective actions taken. Could I have someone make that motion? Diane, thank you. Could I have a seconder? Lisa, thank you. So moved and seconded. Diane and Lisa. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing no one, Suzanne, no discussion?
No.
Thank you. Then we will call for the question. That the administrator, the motion presented is that the administrator provide a report to the provincial government office of the Information and Privacy Commissioner, notifying of the two DBID privacy breaches and outline the corrective actions taken. Calling for the question, all those in favor of that motion, please raise your hands.
Yes.
Suzanne, thank you. That is unanimous. Then we will move on.
We have one new business item.
Thank you very much, Mr. Administrator. New business. Well, I move on to bylaws and resolutions. New business came in
7 o'clock maybe.
As changing back to the 7 o'clock meeting. Open for discussion. Oh, do I have to move it as a motion? The motion before us is that we move the start of the Deep Bay Improvement District regular board meetings to 7 o'clock p.m. Can someone make that motion? Thank you,
sure.
Craig. Suzanne, thank you.
Also.
Seconded by Craig. I don't think we need discussion. If we do, please raise your hands. If not, I would like to call for question that the regular board meetings return 7 o'clock. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hands. Suzanne?
Yes.
Thank you all. That's carried and so ordered. Question. And we are going to move. Question period. Please, anyone in the crowd has a question, please. Thank you.
I'd just like to say I appreciate having the introduction of the staff reports. I think that's great. And thank you, John, for including the final report for the Thompson Point project. I do see on this report the island rail finalization for the right-of-way. Is that an additional cost? I was under the impression that the FRO had already been dealt with, and I seem to recall somebody saying that it was about $600. Is this something else?
No, there was a fee to buy CF of $6,000 initially.
Oh.
And that was for them for this work, for their engineer to be looking at stuff.
So my question is this an additional cost?
Through the chair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I my guess would be, actually, I don't want to guess. I'll come back to the next board meeting, and well, I may not even know that these things go painfully slow.
Yeah.
And if there is, you will see it in the report. But if I know something, I will announce it, because I want to bring this to a close. So when I know if there's not a bill, I will let the board know. But who knows? We might just get an invoice, and we'll have a look at it and see. And you might. We'll see where it goes, but thank you for your comment.
Okay, and the other thing is the board indicated that the report will be published on the website. And how are ratepayers going to be able to access this? Will it be under the report, so will they have to sit through staff reports and agendas?
Through the chair,
yes,
I'd have to go back and check. I believe the board may have said that they would do that. If that's the case, then I would put that in the other report section, and we would just post that in there. I don't see a reason why we wouldn't do that.
But my question is, how would a ratepayer find this report?
Which report? Sorry.
Just the Thompson report.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's in the records because it's in an agenda package, and it's there.
Yeah.
So it's already there, but that's hard to find.
Right.
So within our water report section, where there's
yeah.
certain information, I think that's where we would put it.
That's where I would look.
It's in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah. We did state that.
I wanted to know how to find it.
Yeah. Good. Thanks.
I've just got a couple of comments about the grant. I think you said it was just for Deep Bay. The grant that Stuart was talking about is for all of Area H, which is a fairly large area. So, and it is for capital and the end of March.
Thank you. Just if I could, we heard somewhat different than what you just said in terms of the dollar amount, who it's for. We've heard what you said, and we heard something else, and now we've heard what you've said. So I think part of my discussion with Stuart is, does he have any further information on what that is actually comprised? And I will double check on the date. I certainly assume that that's correct, because they often work at the end of a quarter, but it can still take some time if it's in the UBCM hands, or if it's in the region's hands and they're holding the cash. I don't know, but I will find that out and I will send an email out to the board. But thank you for the input.
Okay. George, can you get your hand up?
With the archaeological sites being down in Deep Bay, in the event that there's a catastrophic failure in the pipeline, what happens?
Good question.
We've asked that question and we don't get answers other than we try to expedite it as quick as we could on something that they're going to dawdle up to a year on. You got to wonder how much crap they're moving out of the way to make it happen, like in a few days.
Is this something that perhaps the improvement district should have applied for the authorization to dig in all of the areas and have that ongoing on a, if they have to renew it every year or every 2 years? I think the archaeological digs are normally good for 2 years, I believe.
Yeah. That's the multi-area assessment permit. So that's why there has to be two permits. One for the multi-area saying these are the risks, these are all water lines, this is what could occur. That's likely how that one's going to play out. Then you need a site specific to carry out the project. So we will identify all those lines and hydrants and where they are in the MAP. But the but is, if we have an issue down there, we've identified it. Well, if you still need a site specific site assessment permit, well, how long will that take? Well, they said, well, we would, in those situations, that would be usually, which isn't a strong word, usually expedited, and it would probably just be a few days. Mm-hmm. Isn't that going to work well? And so we're dealing with that.
Diane, please.
I'd just like to say I was in meetings in Victoria, and out of the premier's mouth today was the fact that they are going to be reducing their staff by 15,000 people, according for our new budget. So anytime soon might be a lot longer than we might think.
I think I'd be keeping some water stored.
Yeah, sorry, well, just saying.
Well, I think we don't want to get too fear-monger here. These are the questions that we're asking, and we're working with them. When I talk to the ministry individual, I just don't think they've thought of these things. They're thinking more of clearing a residential lot or something totally different. You could just tell that they weren't thinking of this. So we need to see it. And one of the things that I felt positive about is there was a meeting that was held with the consultant and ministry staff directly to talk about that. So as busy as they are, they got a voice in there already and met with three individuals. So we're not the only municipality out there, but they or improvement district, municipality, local government, and we are being heard and we're addressing it. This isn't a new issue. This has been on the table a long time. It's just something that's come up that we have to deal with it right now.
Great.
A little different additional information is John spent a lot of time trying to get answers out of the HCA folks, like getting no return calls, no return on emails. It was just dreadful. And so I actually contacted my new daughter-in-law, who's an archaeologist in Alberta and does permitting there. And she told me the difference between here and there is if it's already been disturbed prior ground, like as in putting in the water main, you don't have to go through this dog and pony show. But here, oh no, every time we're going to dig up that same spot, we'll have to get a permit over again and again and again, even though they stand there and they watch and they sift samples and they find nothing, we'll have to do it again. And that's the difference. Then it's, you know, in this province, I mean, you gotta wonder.
Yeah.
Some of the people making these decisions and the load they put on a municipality like this.
Yes.
It's like, I can't imagine how much it would cost to replace the water line down Deep Bay Drive.
Don't go there.
Well, I did go there with McElhaney. So when we were talking about mapping, I at the same time I said we need to talk about cost and to about what it would potentially cost to replace the water line.
But you get a figure?
No, it's just such a guess, but you just know it's a lot more than what we have on the books.
Well, they don't even know, quite frankly, because the archaeological is
that's the piece that's missing.
Ridiculously expensive. So you put that line, and we know people that have had a septic field put in, $7,000.
Is that a 7-0 or a 7?
7-0. For one lot, one septic field. So imagine what it would cost to put that line in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
7,000? 70,000 for septic.
7-4-0s.
Yikes.
And its cost is borne by the property owner.
Yeah.
Yes, that's another piece. Oh. Oh, roses.
On that note,
do we have anything else?
Looking pretty good.
That'd be good. We can adjourn to.
No further questions. We will thank you very much for attending, and we will adjourn this meeting and move to the in-camera portion. Thank you all. Not completely discouraged.